So what do you think the closing what kind of an effect has the closing of the hot springs had on tourism?
It's killed tourism.
Yeah, there's no
Even
tourism.
talking with Ronnie Franklin at Chet Nico Lodge, like he said, man, I used to get them coming and going. I'd get them two times. They'd eat, breakfast, lunch, whatever, go. They come back, they'd be eating breakfast, lunch the next day or dinner. And it's killed, like he said, it's killed his businesses, and it's caused tremendous financial loss in our community. And then
yeah, there's no work.
Now with the closing of the corner, there's no place to even take a shower or do laundry in this community, unless you have your own, so, but the hot springs had a devastating effect on the community. Krabs was at Steve Schultz, now James Krabs, because we took it back to his daughter. That had an impact on us, but everybody's still living. I mean, we've lost. The biggest thing I think that's detrimental to this community has been the closing of the school in the last this spring.
Yeah, I'm angry about that one. It's like denying a child an education.
I mean, and she's a sweetheart, and we thank the world for her, and they're some of my best friends to hang with all the time, Dave and Linda Sue. Now, they're stuck with a homeschool, and that. Lord Tyrell, I've said for years in this community, I says, anybody that homeschools, the only one that was qualified to me was you, Lord Tyrell. Let's see, I don't consider myself stupid, Lord. But I am not smart enough to teach an 11th grader or a 12th grader. I have no idea what their curriculum is now with these children. When my kids were trying that new math, I was stumbling around like I stubbed my toe. I had no idea what in the hell they were even doing. So, and I've been a big opponent of homeschooling. But then again, I mean, there's a cases like yours. And like the Richardsons live 50 miles up, Mark Richardson and his wife live, they live 50 miles up the Candy. They have no choice, but... When I see, I can't say the names, I was going to be, see people down the road from us with two boy and a girl and that, and they don't look smart enough to teach a dog how to sit. I mean, they got to keep their kids home. I mean, that's quite common in this community.
Yeah, the kids need that school.
Mm-hmm.
Not only for learning.
They may live up and down, but I don't mean anyone's family.
They need it for social skills, to learn that.
So losing the school has had a big...
It's been a big detriment to me as far as... People are even actually got here's people. Larry O'Connell. I'll use him for example. He stopped by a house here, I don't know, a month ago, maybe two. And I was just starting my day. Said, boy, Billy said, I want to build a garage, but this community's dying. I said, that don't really matter. You can still build your garage. I said, the main reason, Larry, what people don't realize, you look on a map, we're an island surrounded by federal land. Everything on this is federal land. We're the only free park there, dude. You are not gonna lose money on a home here. And Mr. Miller, give me a clip. Big old lot over there by the Circle Hot Springs Airport. I mean, people said I was out there, cleaning brush lines the other day and all, they getting ready to get to do a hangar or something. People, hey, you're crazy. That this place ain't like bullshit. this is an island, guys.
So, what do you think? What brings new residents here?
Other than gold mining, nothing. Unless they're like. Me and Clint, we moved here. I was retired. I could live. If I had a job, fine. If I didn't have one, I didn't care. I mean, I made enough of my pension. And, look who's here. You and your husband retired. Me and Clint retired. Jim Wilde and his wife retired. I mean, you go down to Jim Sandy Crab and, you go right down the line.
Well, I'm not quite retired.
Well, no, you're still right. I mean, but the reason...
You're a jackie of all trades.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a jackie of all trades, but I mean, our major income is what I make every month on my pension. And that's the unfortunate part of it, and... Maybe some people move here for the food stamps and the permanent fund. I don't know, but that ain't enough to keep a person
like
here.
A retirement community now.
That's exactly right.
Is bingo?
That's right. There's no. And like I told Frank and Linda Neeson, I said there's nothing here to make a young couple want to come and stay. If you come here and live in Central and you're young, you got to go to Fairbanks and work or Slope, or you got to work. There's only three or four government jobs here. Postman, Highway Department. I mean, the rest is all private. There's nothing. I mean, before. Yeah. And somehow, I think the closing of the hot springs was a benefit to the community because we lost all the end of the road or the people that come up here. And then next thing you know, they quit the hot springs and people's missing gasoline and there's food out of their freezers. And we have eliminated that problem almost completely. I mean, but I'd rather put up a few of them and have a viable community.
What do you think that community does about undesirable elements?
Well, usually if you ignore them enough, they'll leave. You don't give them any help.
Yeah, we find ways of getting them out of here.
Or you do like me. they leave right away. They leave the next day, first thing.
Yeah. So now I'd like to move on to something else that they're interested in, and that is climate change. Do you think that the land or the climate has changed since you've been here?
Yeah.
Yeah,
the climate has changed.
I think it has.
It's warmer.
It's warmer. Winters aren't near as bad.
Yeah.
But I don't believe it's man caused. I mean,
it's just a cycle.
This plants went through how many? Who knows how many? You know, we can lose billions of years. How many?
Like we were talking, we're headed for another ice age.
Yeah, because once it melts enough the ice cap where the sun can't heat the water, winter's coming. Mm-hmm. You know, so
yeah, when the oceans rise up.
Yeah, but we're watching. I watch the Discovery Channel. I follow all that stuff. And,
yeah, both of us do.
You know, I don't feel there's anything the federal government or world government can do to stop it.
Yeah, it's coming.
So. You think it's getting warmer.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, yeah. Is there any more, how about wind? Have you noticed more wind?
Yes.
Tremendous winds every day. What does it take, like 3 o'clock?
Yeah.
I say, I'll be doing the roof, so we got to get going, guys. It's going to be 3 o'clock, and by about 3 o'clock.
Yeah, we have more winds now.
Yeah.
And how about the direction of the wind?
It always southerly flow, it seemed like to me.
Southerly flow.
Well, to me, it seemed like it's always coming from over there by the hot spring, coming right down the road this way. And I noticed your husband and you guys, you can land a lot on a taxiway. That wind's coming right out of the south, right down the taxiway. I mean, rather than that, because 35-mile-an-hour gusts, you're not going to land crossing that if you can help it. So I can't blame anybody for running.
Yeah,
right.
I can remember, when we lived up on the hill, for 2.5 months I didn't come down. It was 40 below every day for 2.5 months. Bill was going down to the hot springs every day to fix pipes. So I had to go out every day with my bow saw and bring in firewood.
Yeah.
And now, when we get these sub-zero temps, they last like a week,
not
2 weeks,
even,
maybe 3 weeks at the most.
Yeah, not even.
It doesn't go on
but
and on.
It ain't,
and on.
It ain't 50 below either every day for 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, right. I know.
Me and Clint, when we lived up on the hill, we'd come down to our sewing machine and go to Central. Let's go get a beer. So we'd drive down to Central and get a beer. We go in the Bahar and Sandy Crest. What are you guys, nuts? What do you mean? She's, it's 62 below here. I said, crap. It was only 28 when we left our house.
Yeah.
So 2,000 feet makes a whole lot. But we lived up at Swish Creek. We seen 50 below at Swish Creek in the mid-80s. And that was, my God, I don't know, 1,000 foot higher than us here. 2,000 feet higher, 2,200 feet or something. So yeah, we seen.
How about mosquitoes?
You know what? No, I don't know if I like you guys. I just don't even pay attention to them anymore.
Yeah.
Gnats are my biggest.
Gnats are really, really bad.
Yeah, the mosquitoes, I haven't noticed any.
Yeah.
Of course, you can step off in the grass and tell me about it, but I mean, you know, 10 feet off the road, you're not, who knows. But I don't know. I don't think mosquitoes to us have went up any.
No,
I think
they went
down.
I actually think the mosquitoes went down.
And that could be.
And the gnats came up.
Yeah, could actually be with the warming trend they're talking about, I see. And you look at before and after, like a 1940 aerial picture, some area, and they look at the 19 or 2000 picture, and the lake that was here is just a little marshland right here. It's just dispersed. So maybe they are taking away the breeding ground with this.
We saw that on TV on the Discovery.
Yeah. So, how about your own experience, though, when you've been out and about in the country? Do you, most of your travel is in the winter?
Yeah, yes, it is. Yeah.
So, you might not have noticed the, change in ponds?
No, I haven't, not really. I mean, other than... Mm. I myself think there's more ponds, but that's just me. This, I don't know. Maybe I never paid that much attention. You know, maybe I never had a plane that goes as fast as this. But I mean, you take off and I'm flying out over Medicine Lakes. I didn't know that. My God, look at there. You know, how many lakes are there out here? You know, I mean, never knowing that how many there were because I never paid much attention before. I mean, I just was lack of interest at the time.
Yeah, well, it seems like, you know, the creeks around here just sort of go out and
they turn into nothing.
Turn into the marsh,
you know.
Yeah,
not to change the subject, but I'm out to work on the airplane today, and this motorhome comes pulling up. They say, how far is the Medicine Lake? And I said, well, it's about 3 miles. Oh, wow. So where's the road to it? And I says, there ain't a road. No, it shows the trail. I said, that's the trail, yeah. And he said, well, can I get this down in the motorhome? I said, dude, you ain't going to get 20 feet off the road. You're going to be up to your fingers. Okay.
Yeah. The trail looks like a road on the map. So, When the fires came through, do you know what happened to the, you know, what did the people do? You know, when the, in 2004, well, it also seems like there's more fires.
Fires. There is more fires, yeah. Clutchpipe, because she was here in the center during the fires. Me, I was down in Idaho or Wyoming, Utah, I don't know, and then I went to Fort Yukon or Killeen. I can't remember where they sent me. I was just...
Because you were still working for BLM.
Yeah, I didn't retire until 2006 in BLM.
But you were working out of the Fairbanks office?
I was working out of Fairbanks office.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you were here working out of the central office?
Yeah. Yeah.
And do you know what people did with their... Or were you over there at the
airport? Don't worry, you and the kids went. Whether or not you, but Clint was here, but she'll tell you about whether children went to Dean's.
Yeah, all the children went to Dean's.
Mm-hmm. They evacuated all the children, just like a bombing raid in World War II, so...
Yeah, all the kids were evacuated. Heck, when I got evacuated twice... And I had four dogs at the time. Four dogs and me were living out at my office at the airport, fueling helicopters. I worried about how my dogs were going to handle those helicopters. Mm-hmm. Heck, they didn't care. Jim Ryder helped me put posts in so I could tie my dogs up out there. And that was home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Clint slept in a Suburban for 2 months.
Yeah, I did two tours that summer. And I learned a lot.
Yeah, Wesley went down to the Dean's gravel pit, too.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. He went, too.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, weren't the kids, after, a week or two, the kids decided that, they missed their bedrooms.
Yeah.
You know, they missed all their toys and their personal things and, you know, just their your own bedroom.
That's what being a refugee is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. I heard some of the kids tell me this summer when they first started smelling smoke in the area, oh, good, maybe we'll have another fire camp.
Yeah.
I mean, the kids, I can imagine all the children. Can you imagine, Sabrina and some of them young kids, they just have a ball out
there. They did. They had a blast.
Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah.
How about snowfall? Have you noticed a difference in snowfall at all?
Well, and us, we have not got any. That's what I've noticed. Every year we get less and less. It seems.
Last year, I only got to snowshoe once.
But, then you look at the summer, spring, the rainfall we're getting here this year. Because every mean precipitation, I don't think there's much you can do to change that. I mean, you're going to get so many inches of moisture in a year. If you don't get it in the winter as that snowfall, you're going to get it in the summer as rainfall, which you've done this year, and last year was real dry. When we get a lot of snow, and you're going to have a real dry summer, vice versa.
Hmm.
I really haven't noticed. I noticed our snowfall, but then again, I remember in 88, 89, me and Clint lived on the hill up there, and we had to travel all-terrain vehicles or snow machine, and we froze our ass off on them three-wheelers going down the hill in 88 because there was no snow. Come Christmas, no snow. Come January, no snow. Finally, about the end of January, we was able to start riding our snow machines. The first time, so we've had...
Both.
Yeah,
we've had both. From extremes where it took me and her all day to get back up the hill after we'd been down for a day. I mean, the snow and the blowing and the wind and Clint ran into moose on the ass and stuff. I mean,
it's that windstorm. I was trying to get home on my Elan.
And that was in 89.
Yeah, going up that hill, I kept getting blowed off the machine and me and the machine would topple over, and I was almost home, and kabam! And I just thought it was a big gust of wind that hit me, and hit my forehead on the window. I got off it, dig myself out, take off, and I said, uh-oh, there was moose prints right in between my skis there, and I said, oh my God, I rear-ended a moose.
Yeah.
And so I said, I have a better idea. I hurried up, turned it around, and went back to the hot springs.
Yeah, I was bartending that night when she came back in. I said, what are you doing back here, Rachel? That was such a nice night. I thought I'd ride back, have another drink.
We were laughing.
I told her, she left, you ain't going to get home. I got the dogs, but I got to get out. Well, we'll worry about it in the morning. But since we
If it weren't for me rear-ending that moose, I would have gotten home. Mm-hmm. I was almost home. Jeez.
All right, here's a good question.
All right.
What's your overall opinion of the Yukon Charlie National Preserve?
My overall opinion? I
don't know.
I know we got to have them. I don't mind so much the reserve as the Gestapo tactics that these rangers are putting on people. And I brought this up at federal meetings, and I had the chief ranger come all the way in down to here to come meet with us in Gary Youngblood, he was a chief ranger, because these people are stopping. I'll go back 30-some years. If you pull a car over and they say, "Why you stopped me, sir?" "Oh, I just wanted to see if you had a driver's license." They'd laugh you out of court if you didn't have one. That's, you know, that's not showing due cause. So me and Clint was on the river last year. They pulled me over. I says, "You realize I'm on the Federal Citizens Board? I'm definitely going to have your name at the next federal meeting, you know." "Well, we're stopping you to find out if Homer's subsistence." I said, "You don't know who I am." Well, they were looking at my N numbers. Of course, I didn't know what you call the boat numbers. They'd already called it in, and they hadn't had my name.
Yeah, that was funny. I couldn't believe we were getting pulled over. Yeah, they were following us, and I happened to look around. I said, "Bill, there's a boat following us with a blue flashing light."
Yeah, we left him in the dust, too. I went,
"No, we didn't."
Yeah, we did, remember, because he had the lights on, and I went past him. Remember, I said, "Look at that idiot with the blue lights trying to stop
Yeah. I was laughing. I didn't know who they were. So we pulled over. I said, "Well, is this party heat? Where's the cameras?" And I said, "Should I put my bikini on and get a beer?"
Go,
yeah. Walk around the edge of the boat.
Yeah, without a life jacket, see if they can stop this.
They like that one.
But I mean, two years ago, they pulled Jack Henderson over. Well, that Jack Henderson was flying around, going through the back slough in the 40-mile cabin. It's pretty treacherous running. You got to stay on step. You can get trouble back there. And so he goes around the bend. Here's these two people waving like this. Jack says, "Oh, shit, there's some people having trouble." So he throttled back and did a U-E and went back. "What's happening, guys? Can I help you?" "Yeah, we need to see your hunting license." "Who the hell said I was hunting?" "Well, we got to see your hunting license." And Jack said, one dude has a taser on him. And they remember when I jumped, when they stopped me in class. I said, "Yeah, remember last year you was going to taser Jack?" And he's like, "You got all embarrassed and stuff." And anyway, make a long story short, Gary Youngblood said, "We've had more problem with this. Just let me know, and I'll take care of it." And I said, apparently, he didn't take care of it. So come October when we're going to have our next meeting in Fairbanks. I can't wait to get there so I can crucify the goddamn. And so that's what they said, too. Then Park Service called, "Sir, you got to understand. Here's what happened. That guy been out late in Meade, Arizona for all these years, so he's so used to dealing with uppity people and wanting to beat his ass. And so that's why." I said, "Bullshit. I was stationed in Gale for 17 years, so I go into a nice neighborhood and I'm beating everybody up. Bullshit. Don't tell me that bullshit." You know, said, so they just give me excuse after excuse, you know, so.
But?
Yeah.
Has it stopped?
Not last year. I'll see what happens this year. I haven't been bothered this year, but I ain't been hunting season yet.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens when I go up there hunting. And if it don't stop, I'm going to raise some more hell at the game board meetings, you know, because we got a court recorder there, and it goes to the Congress. It goes, you know, I mean, it's a congressional record, mm-hmm. what we talk about. So, and I'm glad to see it go up there. I mean, I'm sure that some people are, "What in the hell?" If it happens again, I'm going to go right to our senators and see what the hell we can do about it.
We're nothing like Lake Mead up here.
And also, when I brought that up at the meeting, everybody in Fort Yukon was shaking their heads. I'm talking about the people in the audience. So I'd like to ask you, why are you shaking your head? Well, they were doing the same thing to us here, only it's the Yukon class. They were stopping us, pulling into the bank, stopping us. And it's what they're looking for. Wanting to see if we had a hunting license and were you hunting? Sounded to me like you were just coming in. We can all carry a rifle. I mean, you know. But they're having the same damn problem downstream from us that we have it upstream. Of course, you know the feeling of people in Eagle about Yukon Charlie. If everybody in Yukon Charlie fell over dead, they'd be having a picnic. I mean, you know.
Yeah,
so.
I don't hunt.
Yeah.
And I don't have, you know, I don't have a hunting license.
No, I know. Yes, I mean. And that's what
happened. Yet I carry a gun.
Years ago, Dennis Gordon and Bell were up there, and they landed playing one to see your hunting license. "I ain't hunting." "Well, you got a gun?" "Well, yeah, I can have one according to state law. I can have a damn gun. I can carry."
Yeah, there's bears out there.
I carry a concealed firearm according to state law. So we are. I mean, I'm.
And that's the area you hunt in, though?
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. And 2 years ago, I go to pick up my fuel barrels, and they got little red stickers on. Park Service put on there. "You're in violation of code such and such." I got so pissed, I just used them to start a campfire. But they were, "We're in boats. We are not in a goddamn, you know, I can't call my headquarters and say, I need 300 gallons set up at the Yukon Charlie with a spill protection. Can you set your bladder up for me, too?" And I said, "We're in boats, guys. It takes me 30 gallons to get from Circle to here, you know, where you mark my barrels. A 50-gallon barrel of fuel takes me around from Circle to that." I says, I ain't got room for fuel bladders and 55-gallon containment drums. And besides that, they're only single walls. He'd write me up because I only had a single-wall containment instead of a double wall. I says, "No, you can't pull your fucking bullshit up here on us like you're pulling down there in the lower 48. That's what I told him in the meeting. Well, you got to understand, we have to... 15 gallons of gas soda drains on the ground. It'll evaporate. I mean, if God wanted that damn fuel to be in the ground, he'd have put that to begin with. You know, he wouldn't, you know, that's where it's at.
Oh, like, boy. Oh, boy, don't tell Brian Rook that.
Yeah. No, I just think they're too petty. They need to be a lesson. Trouble is, half these guys coming up here, they're in Tennessee. The last boss I had, the BLM, he had his whole career in Las Vegas, Nevada, as a fire crew boss, a smoke jumper. I mean, you know, they have no idea what we do in Alaska here. No idea.
Mm-hmm. So you would say that would be a good management technique, is to have some Alaskan people, or people that stayed here for a longer period of time, yes, to see what it's
want,
like.
They want to work, and, you know, you put your... I went, me and Clint go to Anali every year. We get... A company comes up, we take them to Anali, and everybody there's got a tag on Joe Mo, Minnesota, Joe Sam, you know, mm-hmm. and put them there. Let them work at Denali. I mean, that's where all the tourists are at, but I gotta step out of here, you guys. Jeez, too much coffee this morning. But
not too riled up.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you're right there, Clint.
And how about, what's the most positive thing you could say about the preserve? What was your most positive thing that ever happened there?
The most positive thing? I don't know, really.
You go out there once a year, twice a year, four or five times?
I've only been out there once this year. It was really nice and relaxing. Mm-hmm. And quiet. It's like, yeah, real quiet. And just watching wildlife and... Yeah, mm-hmm. It's just really quiet and relaxing.
Yeah, another thing too, when we do get good officers up here, people in the park service, Jan Dick, he was somebody you could go reason with and talk with, and you know, he listened to you, and he knew, he not only years he's a ranger up here, and I can't remember the superintendent's name, he used to come over here all the time with his snow machine, and with snow machine along with us, and sit around here in BS, just like me and you were doing. Mm-hmm. They all got transferred out west, or they get Jan Dick probably got transferred somewhere where, because he was too nice, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah, don't matter. Have another soda, Clint.
Okay.
Anyway, so that's been my biggest beef about that. And as far as positive about the park, I'll tell you, one of the positive thing I've noticed, although I don't know, well, for years, we stayed at 40 Mile Cabin. And then we stayed at Candy Cabin, other than that. So... For years and years, the parks were saying, oh, you can't go, you can't stay here more than 2 days, you can't do this, you can't do that, and they put a lock on the building and this kind of crap. So last fall, I'm up there hunting, and they come in, and I said, what the hell are you guys doing? Parkies, they're cutting firewood and stacking. Oh, they made this an official visitor cabin. So what was it for the last goddamn 15 years when you've been trying to ride our ass about this and that? Wait for me, sir, wait before me. No, I'm talking about 2 years ago, you guys were saying we had to... You only stay 10 days and stuff like that, you know. And it wasn't an official cabin then, so was the squatter's cabin, or you guys just garnishing it? What's happening, you know? Oh, well, since Richard never proved up for years and blah, blah, this and that, I mean, I know I was just harassing him, you know.
So it's now an official visitor's cabin?
It's an official cabin or whatever they call it along their mm-hmm. river system. So now they're putting, so anything you need, just tell us. I said, we need a splitting malls, we need propane, we need this. I mean, I had a whole list I give them what we needed for that cabin. Well, I went back in there with me and Clyde, took my daughter and son over back up there in July, and they had a splitting mall. Well, at least they had a splitting mall. They did bring the splitting mall, you know. And the firewood, they're cutting firewood, that's fine, you know. That's the only positive thing I can say is that, and even the slavers, they do take care of that well, and they...
And how about, do you know other people that live there in the preserve?
I don't think there's anybody lives there anymore.
What about at 28 Mile?
No.
They moved out?
They're gone, yeah. They're gone. And Doug Gill's cabin got pushed out. See, he can't stay in the way. His cabin got wasted in the ice last year. 12-mile cabin got wasted in the ice last year. Candy cabin got wasted in the last year. Washington Creek cabin, so nobody lives there.
I don't think there's
anything. There's a German, Mike, or somebody lives upstream. And I don't know if that's in the park or not, but it's real close to Eagle.
I thought he moved out.
No, but, what's their names that live up the Candic? That's not in
there. They're on the state ground there. He just lucked out when they asked, how did you get on state ground? I said, Bill, I don't know. We just stopped here. It looked like a nice place, and we built a cabin. It was on state ground. Nobody's bothered. The University of Alaska ground, I guess, he said.
Huh.
Yeah. Mark Richards.
Yeah.
Laurie's, yeah. Mark and Laurie, yeah.
Yeah, Mark and Lori. Where'd they go to?
They're still up there.
Oh, they are?
Still in the headwaters up
there. Oh, I heard they moved out of there.
Well, they may have, but last I heard, they were still up there. Not I've heard they're still up there. But,
Well, the last little section I have to talk about here is the future of Central. What do you think is going to happen to our community?
We're going to turn into a retirement community and play bingo every Saturday night.
Not roulette, but bingo.
Yeah.
But you know, I think... Unless there's something to bring our young families in, it's going to be just like that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of that place where they ski in Wyoming, and it's it's a $100 million.
Oh, a resort.
Yeah, it's going to be a resort community. Mm-hmm. Not a resort community. It's going to be a summer community.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be like Long Beach,
Yeah.
Oh, just real rich people and real big homes just for the summer.
And if the school reopens, I'm sure we'll have families come in. I don't know. There's no jobs.
There's nothing to bring in family.
Yeah.
Serval got the same problem, but they have different incomes, so they don't
worry about it. Yeah, they have different stuff there.
Yeah, and everything around here is for sale. Krabs got everything he owns for sale. Ron Franklin, him and his wife got everything they own for sale. George Hill, I'll use him for example. There's some people renting this home in Manquette. We just oversee it for George, and he gives us a couple of bucks a year for it. So I called George. I talked to George at the funeral. I said, they want to buy your house. Will you take $75,000? He said, oh, Lord, no, I need $150,000 for that, or whatever. I know. And I said, George, you got to understand the community. Franklin and Eason want $100,000 for their home, and they got six times the home you have. I mean, they got running water, they got sewer, they got everything's there, George. You have nothing but shacks. I says, Chismar's trying to sell both his homes, and both of them are equal to yours, especially the one that Chismar had along the Springs Road. Me and Clett, we almost thought about buying that, except the ground's so horrible. We said, I don't want to move. I think I'll keep this.
The ground is bad there?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
It's real swampy.
There's sinkhole behind Paul's house. You don't want to take a cat back there. You might not see it again. You just go through all the homes for sale, and I probably missed 8 or 10 of that. It's going to be a subsistence retirement village. That's going to be what it's going to be. That's exactly what it's going to be.
Well, if we had some sort of economic base.
Yes, indeed. That's what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have an economic. It's called Gold Money, but it's so. Like I said, there's a few of our locals here. But I mean, like Morris. I don't mean Roger. I like Morris. Morris Walters and all them guys up there on Crooked. They all live in Nevada in the winter. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Dave Olson. He lives in Arizona in the winter. They're not locals to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying Jim Crabb and Sandy. Sandy's don't feel well, so they're staying in Arizona or somewhere in the winter too. And it's going to be a summer community. Unfortunately, it's going to be a retirement community. And those old timers, people I call us old timers after 20-some years, we're none of us going to leave. I mean, why are we going to leave? We're going to find
anywhere
else.
Yeah, it's our home.
Well, do you have anything else you want to talk about the history of the area or anything? How did do you know how the hot springs started?
Yeah, Al Cook did a lot of research on that. And I haven't a letter here. I'd rather have the letter that Al Cook. This is Al Cook's research, so. I hope I got it here, Lowell. I just had read about different owners, the different people that homesteaded it. Al Cook did a tremendous amount of work on it.
Yeah, he's talked to me, too, about it. But if you've got it in writing, that'd be great, too.
Yeah, but he wrote it's in the museum newsletter we just got today.
Oh, I think that's in the outhouse.
The museum newsletter is about C.J. Barry.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm talking about it was last year's. I had last year's in here, Clint.
Oh, I have no idea.
I was just looking at it because you moved it. It was in them. Yeah, I may have started a fire with it. I don't know.
You probably did. You were going through stuff the other day.
Yeah, I can't keep all this crap here.
I just didn't know if working there and stuff, people talked about how it started. And
the different names. I probably get, but it's a newsletter from last year. The museum newsletter. Al Cook did a lot of research on
it. Right.
Different names. I wish I don't have it.
I can get it though.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It was very, it was really, really good what he done. Yeah, I've lost a day on thing long.
That's all right. I can get a hold of it.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to chit chat with me. And
that's fine.
Unless you have anything else you'd like to cover.
Well, about
my
bad neighbors, I could tell you about them, too. No, that's right.
He's
no,
talking
I,
about
no,
me.
I would say, Laura, like me and Clint, if somebody said, here's a list of 100 people, you got to pick 3 neighbors. We couldn't have picked better than you two guys. You know, you and Rick and Dean. I mean, my God, what a wonderful neighbor we live in. We think the world of our neighborhood.
All right.
I'm serious. It's a hard thing. It's a great thing.
Okay, well, thank you very much, and I guess we'll turn this baby off if we can figure out how to do it.
And after you leave, I'll think of something.
Yeah,
right, something you want to say.
Yesterday, after Laura called me, I was
thinking. It's not in there.
I know it's gone. Okay, I threw it away or some shit.